needs a little lubricant.
Hello and welcome to Shield Bash. I am Britt. To my right,
Mark playing Artemis Quinfrig.
Will playing Nath Vendikar.
Hey, this is Jason. I'm playing Tim Westcrown.
Curtis playing Ronin.
And Pete playing Meta of the Ingully.
May Sawenway bless you and keep you forever.
In this marriage.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Kurt, I have to ask, is it hard to follow Jason in these entries?
You know, if you don't have anything scripted, you're just kind of out there.
Who do you think I scripted this shit?
Yes, I do.
In the last 5 seconds, at least.
Oh, yeah. That's. I don't know if that meets the term scripted or not, but
my favorite one's the sexy bedroom voice. Hi, this is Jason.
Hey,
play
baby.
Tam Westcrown.
So sultry.
I try.
So today, as we sit, we wish to discuss a few various other things, but first and foremost among them,
the level up. So, Mark, tell us what Artemis has recently discovered he can do.
Well, Artemis, when he hit fourth level, the big thing was that he got a bonus to one of his ability scores, which he put in dexterity. So now Artemis has a 19 dexterity.
Ooh, wow.
And kind of exciting for him, at fourth level, as an Unchained Knife Master Rogue, he gets debilitating injury, which means that he can apply... Bewilderment, disorientated, or hampered to a foe that he hits with a sneak attack. If they take sneak attack damage, he gets to add that on as a little extra to stick them with.
That is versatile.
And also, even more importantly, is I get uncanny dodge at this level. So that means that I retain my dex bonus to AC when flat-footed, which really helps you not get hit when you're flat-footed.
So a little offense, a little defense... Kind of nice.
Yes, and for my feet, I took Twist Away because my fort save is kind of shit. It allows me that if I'm wearing light or no armor, and I am forced by, if I'm forced to make an attempted saving throw with Fortitude, I can use an immediate action to instead attempt a reflex save in its place at the same DC. And if I succeed at this throw, the attack has a reduced effect on a successful save. If I would normally ignore the effects entirely. So it's kind of nice. I get to substitute my best saving throw for my worst saving throw.
That's pretty nice.
Do we also want to... You want to tell the people how you got a feat at fourth level?
I guess I didn't tell you guys that last time when I started, because, yes, I did.
I heard you blew the GM.
No, that was you, Pete.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. And you're the reason why we can't play anymore today, because you won't do it again.
Damn. Hey, as I discussed earlier, once a month is the limit.
And that's pretty much it for Artemis at fourth level.
That
was kind of nice.
Pretty nice, yeah. I mean, usually fourth is kind of a dud, isn't it? But, yeah, that's some good stuff. Will.
Well, I'm...
Yes?
Question. So you had that feat at third level?
Well, actually, I got it with a combat trick because I had a combat trick come up for a Unchained Rogue talent. So I chose combat trick instead, and that's how I got that.
Okay.
Will, Nath got going on?
Nath actually got not a ton of things, but the things that he did get are pretty exciting.
Excite me.
He went up to a D8 for the hit die on his unarmored attack, which is just great.
Previously, he was a 6?
Yeah, D6.
Right.
And he's not very strong, so that's much needed.
Well, with his massive amount of hitting, we wouldn't notice anyway.
That's fair. Very fair.
He got hit a lot, though.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah.
I don't think I did get a... Yeah, no feat this time. Got his, what's it called? Keys power?
Yeah,
got a key power. So I picked key stand, so now I can stand up without provoking. And
is super helpful.
Wouldn't it?
Was it? What?
Doesn't that sound like kip up for the swashbuckler?
Very similar.
I don't know.
Very similar.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so as a swift action, I can stand up.
From prone.
From prone.
Yeah, from prone.
Without provoking.
I'm just reading this again here.
Does it cost a key point to do that, or is...
So you don't have to spend a key point.
As long as you have a key point in
your... pool, you can stand up swiftly, and that's cool. Still provokes, but by spending a key point and standing up swiftly, you can do the non-provoking action.
Yes,
but that's about it, and other than more armor and, you know, all that.
War armor? Is that what you just said?
More armor.
Oh, more.
From the bracers that we got right as we leveled up.
Right.
What's your movement speed
I
now?
I hope there's treasure.
It's still 40. Yeah. I did my sense modems up to a 12 now.
Nice. Tam, Jason.
All right, so you guys know I'm a pain-in-the-ass rules lawyer, right?
I've heard that about you.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't remember what I took because it was a while ago since I leveled up. So.
Well, problem is, if you took Twist Away as a combat feat, it is not a combat feat.
Well, then I must have taken someone else then. If you'd like to go over my notes,
it's a very interesting feat. Because I looked at it, I did not know it existed, and I'm like, nice. I kind of want this feat because it's very nice.
Twist away, that sounds cool to me.
But then I was reading it, and I'm like, wait a minute, combat? That doesn't.
Because it doesn't tell me on here what I took at what level. It just tells me what I have.
Hero Lab's pretty phenomenal, if you ask me. I'm a recent convert, but
I love it.
It's not. There's no.
It's great.
Track record for that.
It doesn't like put them in sequentially?
No.
Nope.
No.
Actually, it just alphabetizes them or something?
Yes.
More or less.
Actually, exactly. Alphabetical.
There is a transaction for purchases and things like that, but there's not, hey, you went to this level, you got this feat, you went to this, and you got this many skill points. There's not a log of that or anything, no.
Did you grab two weapon fighting, maybe?
That was what I did at first, because I had the human. I had two weapon fighting, and then whatever the other one was.
Combat reflexes or dodge?
Yeah.
Because you got weapon finesse for free.
Right. And I think I get the two weapon fighting I had to take, and then I think I had a bonus feat that I took, but I don't remember how I built it, because I came in at third level.
Yeah.
Because benevolent GM.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, the feats stack up and everything. I was just curious.
I don't know if it counts as benevolent to let the person that's joining your party be the same level as everybody else. Might be reaching.
Hey, old school D&D days, whenever I started playing, I would have come in at first level and you guys would have all had to protect me while I cowered in the back until I gained enough experience to catch up.
True story.
As a GM that is running an adventure path, or when someone joins the game, I don't start them at the same level. I start them behind. Not at level one, but... A level or two behind.
Let me preface this. I could understand them being behind, but let's say that we were much higher level than this. Like he was talking about at level one while we were like level five or six where he would just die immediately.
Well, no.
That just doesn't sound fun.
No. See, he cowers in the back. He gets the same XP from you all killing everything, and he gets like six levels at a time.
Yeah, he catches up much quicker.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better.
It was usually like two or three sessions, and you were pretty much
like
either a level behind or really close to being the same.
Interesting.
Yeah, the only problem, like, that is how I learned to start gaming, too, but it just doesn't work so well with adventure paths because they are graded on a scale, pretty much, and if you're, I mean, with this size group, we could probably do it with one person, but if we had to replace, like, three players, it'd be a fucking massacre.
Yeah, it'd be not nice. Not nice at all. So what about Tam?
Yeah, so the original Rogue got a lot of the same things, go figure. A debilitating strike, the skill point. Her skill point also went into dex, but hers is a little more spread out. So her dex is only 17. And her Rogue talent, she grabbed Trap Spotter because, well, quite frankly, because of what happened in the last session where you changed the... Because
I'm evil.
Yeah. I will admit it was frustrating that you did it like... After we'd already checked for traps, and then like I rolled again and told you the result, and then you changed the rules.
You're talking about the chest?
Yeah. But that's about, I mean, hit points and skills, not a whole lot really going on besides Trap Spotter, and, well, actually, that's pretty much about it. We got another couple levels before things really kick off.
Trap Spotter is better than Train Spotter any day.
Yeah. But not as good as Tranny Spotter, because you really want to know when that shit's going down.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Curtis, can you tell us something new about Ronin?
Well, Ronin has a few more hit points. He upped his dex by 1 point.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes, yes, and I get to use judgments.
Hey, Kurt, say that whole sentence again.
That whole sentence again.
That whole sentence, yeah. I added 1 point to my dex, got a few more hit points, and then some skill points, which that's always good for the Inquisitor.
Definitely.
And then I added to his abilities, he got a second judgment, so now I can use two judgments at one time.
Judgments.
Yeah, and that's so really, which I did get another, I got a second level spell.
It's okay,
also.
I've never played an Inquisitor, so tell me, do you get to select from a list of judgments or whenever you want one, or how's that work?
Yeah, so I get to use a judgment once per day, or I'm sorry. So far, I've only ever used it once per day.
Uh-huh.
And I get to select from this list of judgments that give me special abilities, like fast healing, bonuses to attacks. I get bonuses on saves. And I can pick which one of those I want to add, and it lasts until the end of the combat.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a little bit different than, like, your alchemist, where he gets different discoveries. You know, it sounds like you have a list that you can pick from, and Pete?
That is correct, but there's also another aspect to that.
Yeah.
So say Ronin is sitting there shooting off his shit with the +1 to attack
pew, pew.
Inquisitor aspect going, and then he starts tanking because we all die and he's the only one left.
Okay.
He can switch that to the healing judgment during the combat, but... He couldn't start another one the next fight because he can only do it once a day.
Okay.
But while it's active, he can change
it. So per combat is what I heard, yeah.
Yep.
So note to future self, Ronin.
And so, yeah, I can do those. I can do two of those during a combat now. And I also added a second level spell and my bonus spell. And that's really all that Ronin got out of fourth level. So next level is kind of the big one for him.
Yeah, buddy.
It's when he's finally going to take a precise shot.
And he grows an inch.
And his heart grows 3 sizes.
Pete, what do you got for Miss Meta?
All right, so at fourth level, Meta gains a hex, and hex that I took was flight. That way, if I fall from something with my current...
Featherfall.
-3 climb. I would instantly be able to do Featherfall.
Nice.
I can also do Levitate once a day.
Which yeah, that comes in handy.
Later on, I'll be able to fly at will, but that'll be later. I also get Wandering Spirit, which means every day when I prep my spells, I can grab a new spirit to add to my repertoire. Currently, I'm looking at using Heavens for the time being. Later on, I might probably switch over to Bones. That way, life and death kind of scenario.
Bones.
But the spirits give my animal companion, or my familiar, some added stuff and give me an extra ability.
Nice.
And I also got an extra spell prepped per day at first level and second level.
Mm-hmm.
So I prepped Cure Moderate Wounds.
We like that one.
And for first level, I've got Color Spray prepped.
Yeah.
Granted, Color Spray. I only have access to that because of the Wandering Spirit I took.
Mm-hmm.
I gained a base will save. My attribute point went into strength, so now I'm only at -1 instead of -2 strength.
Woohoo! Baby steps.
And then perception went back up, and diplomacy went up, and... Heal went up, and some other things went up. So my highest skills are diplomacy and perception still at +13.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
It has its benefits.
So anything new with Cicero?
Cicero, no. Next level, I'll actually be able to talk to him.
Ooh.
But
he's, you know what he's going to say.
He's going to say, hey, fuckwad.
Fee.
Feed me,
feed me,
meta.
He's a plant. It's oxygen, sunlight. He's fine.
You have it's a reference to a movie.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Seriously?
Little Shop of Horrors.
What?
Never seen it.
Okay, now you've got homework. It's a cult classic. You gotta see it.
There's a version with Rick Moranis here.
Yeah.
So
the most recent one, yeah. And Steve Martin? Yeah.
Yes. That whole cast is actually
pretty phenomenal.
Be a dentist. Yeah, it's Steve Martin, Rick Moran, everybody in that's pretty. Even the girls that sing, two of them are from like major music groups from back then.
I used to watch that all the time.
It's fabulous.
Actually, just going back real quick to Ronan here, I made a mistake on being able to use two judgments at once. That's not until 8th level.
How dare you, sir or ma'am?
That's a huge jump.
But I get to use it twice a day. So when I get to do it twice, I get to do it twice a day.
Okay, wait. So you get one judgment twice per combat? No.
One judgment twice per day. So if I have two combats in a day, I get to use judgment twice.
Oh. Okay. That makes a certain amount of sense.
Yeah.
Still, incrementally more handy. Yeah?
Yeah. So is everybody comfortable? I know it was pretty hot in here last night. I made some adjustments.
Well, I tell you what, the fan going on high was certainly making a difference last night. It's definitely helping today.
No, I also cranked the AC back down more, and I put another fan in.
And we thank you, sir. Okay. Does anybody have anything else?
Well, listeners, I have discovered a rather simple method of syncing up our audio with some rotating pictures. It'll be a fancy, like, high school level slideshow. So it'll be real nice. And those are going to be going up on YouTube. So look for those there. Actually, by the time this goes up, we should already have some up there. So you can check out the Shield Bash channel on YouTube.
And the slideshow is going to just be rotating pictures of Jason, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, not just me.
Like Tam's fig.
Sometimes it'll be me and other people.
Oh, okay.
But always Jason.
Yes.
Jason,
I mean,
I'm
doing all the editing.
That is fair. You got Jason as a dragon. You got Jason as a snake. You got Jason as a rat. You got Jason. And then you got...
It'll just be the finger guns with the big grin look. Just...
Then these smoldery, smoky eyes and the Time West crowd.
In all seriousness, if Jason did not do what he does for this podcast, there would not be a podcast.
This is very true.
Well, as much as I appreciate
it. And we thank you.
That could be said for you and Kurt.
Well,
and
certainly, but you take on a lot of responsibility here, and we do appreciate it. I want you to know that.
There could be, like, no editing. Just
right?
Put the thing straight on the internet.
Oh, my God. That was
Shield Bash raw.
Normally, I like it raw, but not for this.
Oh,
I don't think it'll work out very well.
I couldn't even imagine that. 20 minutes of... Wow.
Okay. I'm not sure what kind of raw you're imagining in this conversation. Sorry. I'm not sure which version of raw that you're imagining in this conversation. So I'm just going to go ahead and presume you meant this audio as raw because
yes.
The fact that I'm married to your sister, I
and
really don't want you imagining the other kind.
And we, in this case, do not mean rules as written. No.
Do we need to bring a towel?
No, what we mean is professional wrestling, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, brother.
I got you for 20 minutes.
Anything else? And then I got one thing I want to ask us about. The YouTube thing is awesome. It'll be happening. It's cool.
Well, it was nice working with you guys now that we'll be getting sued by Hulk Hogan.
That was supposed to be the Macho Man.
Yeah. No shit, man. Dude, Randy Savage?
Give him a
break. Hey,
he hasn't even watched
like, Forrest Gump.
He's
mean,
like 12 years old. Let's give him credit here.
Sorry, that was pretty
smart,
funny.
To be fair.
But I know what wrestling is.
To be fair, he's not the only one who says
Captain
brother Thano. Every time he enters the ring.
Captain Thano takes no prisoners.
I really want that to be my next character voice. Hi, guys. We're going to go and beat up those guys, and it's going to be really good. And I'm going to cast Punth, and it's going to... Well, look, I exploded his head.
My name is Baba Boucher. Baba Boucher, I'm a brawler, and I give people to people's elbow because Kevin Thano, he ain't no prisoners.
Bobby Boucher is clearly a barbarian.
That's right.
And he liked Vicky Belcourt, and she showed me her boobies, and I liked them too.
That was compliment to Captain Insano.
Mama said.
Twist is he's a tactical genius.
Alligators is angry because they got all their teeth, and they ain't got no toothbrush.
That's why the Red Man Assassins are so mean, because they got those tall tooth sabers with no toothbrush. the flesh gets stuck in the tooth.
Mr. Sandler, I know you're never going to listen to this, but we apologize. But only a little bit. And take it as a compliment.
It's an homage.
And we appreciate what you do.
Yes.
Watch, the guy's like really a gamer.
Well,
he's paying attention to the podcast community.
You just never know.
Yeah. He's got his next Netflix movie is going to be about us.
Oh, shit.
Who the fuck making fun of Bobby Boucher?
Hey, you know what, though? That'd be way cool if he contacted us for, you know, background material. I'd be fine with that. I'd love to meet Adam Sandler.
That'd be fucking amazing.
I would love to meet anybody famous involved with podcasting or gaming.
Well, yeah, you need to come to GaryCon. GaryCon in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It is a commemorative con for Gary Gygax. It's called Celebrate a Life Well Played. That's their little tagline. And lots of old school TSR people are there every year.
His kids put that on, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. Luke is the primary driving force behind that. Ernie's usually there as well. In fact, all the Gygax kids are there. Elise, all of them. And very, very cool people, very down to earth. Joe Manganiello's there, Margaret Weiss, Tracy Hickman.
Hey, I've heard of some of these guys.
Yes, like a who's who in old school gaming, and they're there every year. I think this year they're going to have, I think Matt Colville's talking about coming, for you guys to know who he is.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Matt Colville, I'm a backer.
Yeah.
I'm not, but Jason's got me watching your YouTube stuff now.
Yeah, buddy.
I know Weiss and Hickman are some of, like, the first fantasy novels I ever read, like the original Dragonlance trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love going back and reading them now because it's like just reading a D&D campaign that was turned very well into a novel series. It's superb. And I have, at Winter War 2 years ago, I was in the vendor hall, and they had I thought they stopped printed these, the 3.5 campaign setting for Dragonlance, and I just immediately snatched it up.
Nice.
I was very happy to find it.
They were very nice.
Well, when I was going through the game room yesterday and, you know, cleaning up and reorganizing, that's when I found the map folio for us.
We thank you for that.
And I also found the original Forgotten Realms source book for AD&D. Yeah.
I've seen the redone stuff of that, but I haven't seen the originals.
Yes. Next to Red Raccoon in Bloomington, there's a little used bookstore, and they had the AD&D first campaign setting for Ravenloft.
Oh, yeah.
Now, speaking of... Tracy Hickman...
supposed to be a pretty brutal setting.
Tracy Hickman and his wife, Laura... they wrote Ravenloft, and then they wrote The House on Griffin Hill, which is like the sequel to Ravenloft, the original modules. And I have both of those. So next time I go to GaryCon, I'm going to take those with me so I can get those signed as well.
Yeah, buddy.
Curse of Strahd specifically is supposed to be very brutal, but Ravenloft is basically just monster-filled. You know, it's the...
horror setting.
Yeah, it's the vampires and werewolves and ghosts and zombies.
It's pretty brutal. The original is pretty brutal.
You ran through it, Mark?
Years and years ago. I always wanted to run a group all the way through the module, and I tried three times and only got like a quarter of a way, half the way, and three quarters of the way. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's like me trying to run Rise of the Rune Lords.
Curse of Strahd is the only 5e adventure that we've been looking at all in terms of the books to play through.
I have the book if you guys need it, so.
I got to say, thanks. When I started running Hell's Rebels, I was a little concerned it was going to be like Rise of the Rune Lords, where you get a certain point and third-party wipe, and it's like, screw it, we're done.
That's always a concern with these.
Yep. There's a lot of folk that play a lot of Adventure Pass and don't make it all the way through.
Yeah, well, after a certain point as a DM, like, you... with the last time I ran Rise of the Rune Lords and we hit the third total, almost total party kill, I was like, you know, I'm... tired of trying to find reasons for your characters to give a shit, you know?
Right? Exactly.
But speaking of such things, I was listening to one of the podcasts that I listen to, and
your list is probably bigger than mine. Yeah.
Well, I work in a quieter place,
yep.
A little easier to listen to, but yep. One of the episodes ended with them. So they're running Jade Regent, right? They're in Brynwald Castle, and the DM describes this as there are three giant spiders and an Ettercap surrounded by two dire corgis. And Corbies. Sorry, Corbies.
I was going to say dire dogs?
Yeah. Well, short-legged dogs?
They literally go back and forth with the words all over the place with that because, you know, they sound the same, and dire corgi is an amusing and adorable thought.
It's hilarious.
And so one of the players stepped in and was like, you can't surround with only two people. Like, that doesn't... It's like just calling out his word usage, right? So the next episode starts, and he basically makes a little miniature map and says, okay, so here are the giant spiders in the Ettercap, and I want you guys to surround them with these other little dots. And, you know, because you literally can't surround with two. Like, you need more than that. So somebody used three, the other person used four, one person used six. I'm like, okay, so this is surrounding to you guys? Yeah, yeah, okay. So we'll go ahead and go six dire corgis. Corbies, then. He almost killed the entire party.
Oh, I bet.
He did actually kill one character. And it was like, wow. And then the whole time he's just like, I want you guys to remember, like, this is Puddle's fault because she's the one who called up the word usage. I was like, you know, I can be an asshole about things, but I fucking own up to it. Like, you did this. Your pettiness, Mr. DM, is what's causing this. Like, what the fuck?
Yep. Come on.
That was an asshole move. And then he doesn't own up to it, which is an even bigger asshole move.
Well, let's go back to cons for a minute. Did anybody other than Mark go to Gen Con?
No.
Thought about it.
Nope. I had a hard enough time getting 2 days off in a row this week.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. I know I didn't. I know Kurt did not. And I just wanted to check with mostly Mr. Will over there.
I had thought about it. Actually, a friend of mine wanted to go just to see if he could go see the cast of Critical Role while they were there.
Mm.
But we just ended up not doing it.
Right. I know, was it Mark and Brent last year went just to go walking around?
Me and Brent went 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I'm sorry. Yeah, and it was pretty fabulous, wasn't it?
It was pretty massive. It took us the whole day just to get through, like, the vendor section.
Man.
We really didn't even get time to stop and play. And we kind of cruised through a bunch of stuff. So, I mean, we paid attention close to the gaming stuff, but there was a lot of board game stuff and some other vendors that we just kind of cruised right past.
Right.
And it still took us pretty much the whole day to just get through it. Now, we did have to go deliver a gaming table. Me and Jason did.
Mm.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Right.
I think that was last year, wasn't it?
No.
No, it was 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago, yeah.
So.
Crazy.
That's why I tell people, like, if you've never been to Gen Con before, do not book your entire schedule. Like, leave stuff open so you can go, because the vendor hall literally will take you all day. And you don't try to go in the first day either, because that is a fucking madhouse.
Right.
Just Google Running of the Nerds Gen Con, and you will see what we're talking about.
Well,
you don't know.
I do have a deal with the wife. Right now, I'm trying hard to get a month off next year off of work, so that her and I can go to Nepal and hike up to see Everest.
Right.
Well, the deal is, I do that. I get that much time off work.
Uh-huh.
The next year, she has to go to Gen Con with me.
There you go.
So the year I went is when I got to, standing in line waiting on the Paizo booth, I got to meet Neil Spicer and Lisa Stevens. So
nice.
I was pretty happy just about that. That was worth waiting in line for an hour.
Nice. Very nice.
Your wife might kill someone at Gen Con.
Actually, we have discussed that possibility. For the listeners, my wife is not a gamer. She has tried Pathfinder, and she has a problem with only one aspect. There are rules.
The rules, yeah.
Yeah, you need to get her on Fate Accelerated.
She and I have discussed that, and she's like, you know, I like seeing the cosplay stuff that you show me online and all that, so I could go, don't ask me to play. I will not play. But you let me go and just wander around and look at the neat costumes and stuff. And
cosplay, yeah.
Yeah, there's so much to do at Gen Con.
She's like, yeah, I could deal with that. Just if you ask me to play, the deal's off.
Right.
Does she like craft stuff and things? Because they have all these different tracks for all these different things. I mean, it doesn't just have to be about gaming.
Right.
She does. Okay. My wife is nuts. Diagnosed.
But she's nice.
She is
nice.
As long as you're on her good side. She likes
so good.
All the do-it-yourself type of things. She's got all these, like, a couple years back, we were redoing the fencing for the side yard. Well, rather than buy actual fencing and stuff, we went and found someone who had a bunch of pallets that they didn't want, and we took those for free, and then we built our own fence with pallets. And she's really into that crafty type stuff, but her attention span is not that long.
It's perfect, though, because a lot of the do-it-yourself in the, like, the craft track, they call it, and it's all in the guide. You just look it up, and you can put craft track, and it'll have it. But a lot of those are anywhere from 30 to 45 to 60 minutes, usually, and it's like how to do etching, how to make your own dice tray, how to make your own dice tower, how to, crochet a chainmail dice bag. I mean, there's all kinds of different ones. I mean, pretty much anything that she would be interested in, I think she'd probably be able to find it at Gen Con in the craft section.
Right. That's great, because Pete's wife needs to know how to make armor.
Well, yeah.
It's really not that difficult. I used to make it when I did Bellagarth. It's the hardest part is just spooling the wire, realistically.
Mm-hmm. Actually, as far as the armor thing goes, she did actually take a class a few years ago about how to make chainmail.
Yeah.
Yep.
She hasn't made me any yet, but...
Working on it, man.
That's good.
Working on thinking about
it? She kept it all for herself.
Well, when you guys say, you know, going back to Gen Con for just a minute, I remember when I was pre-teens, you know, and I would look at Dragon Magazine and various other sources.
Now,
maybe in the box.
Britt,
yeah.
When you were pre-teen,
uh-huh.
You were riding dragons at school and stuff, right?
Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, they just extincted right before
they were
extincted.
Called dinosaurs, yeah, Pete, not dragons.
Yes, when you
you're
take
one to
the
talk. You got more white hair than all of us.
Yeah, but I'm distinguished.
But most of it's facial. So
yes.
Back then when you had to carry your books to school and
uphill both ways in the snow.
Wait, no, I want to go, like, what the fuck do you think kids do now? Like, have them levitate to school?
Carry computers.
Well, don't you know? This teleport. Is 2019. Oh, we got the hoverboards.
Actually,
now, to be specific, it was more than one set of books. You had your education books, and then you had your Dungeons & Dragons books so you could hang out with your buddies at school.
To be fair, Kurt is right. Nowadays, once you hit junior high, you don't have books. They don't give you books.
You
have
tablet.
A Chromebook computer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of your homework and schoolwork and everything is online.
A lot of email done.
Well, so you know, I had to carry my friggin' books.
Okay, yeah. So you're just old enough.
Yes. I didn't think you knew what a book was, Will. I figured everything was digital for you.
Hey, just because I'm not literate doesn't mean I don't know what a book is.
Nobody who plays Dungeons & Dragons doesn't know what a book is. Anyway, Britt, we keep interrupting you and we're running low on time.
Yeah, back to Gen Con. I always wondered, what the hell is that? And then eventually... In adulthood, you know, middle age even, it's a convention. Wow, you can go there. Wow, it's not that far away. It's realistic. You could do it. It's pretty amazing. And then this is, of course, after having gone to a bunch of the smaller conventions, including our own little Farmageddon here in Farmer City. It's amazing to me that we have this community now. Now, let's go back to Mark here. He recently went and... Because he's the all-around cool guy that he is, got an impromptu award. Special award. Very prestigious. Can you tell us about that a little bit, Mark?
Night.
Yeah. Well, what they're talking about is Saturday night at Gen Con, every year at Gen Con, actually, during the specials, the Organized Play Foundation Manager, which is Tanya Woodridge, she recognizes people that have been made outstanding contributions or devotion to the society, Pathfinder Society, and the organized play community in general. I was really taken aback and totally caught by surprise when Saturday night they called my name while I was prepping for the special, and I went up on stage and they gave me a campaign coin. And I don't know if anybody knew what campaign coins are. Challenge coins is what the military used to call them. But
yep. If you didn't have one, you got to buy the drinks?
Yes, exactly. Yep. So now I have one. If somebody flops out their challenge coin, I can say, hey, I got mine. The coolest thing about it is it gives you a few game mechanical benefits, but it is an honor. I was very shocked to get it, and I was very, very happy and just humbled by the whole experience. And everybody was congratulating me. And, I mean, everybody from Paizo was up there talking about Lisa Stevens. Lisa was up there. Jason Bowman was up there on stage. Eric Mona, they were, clapping for me and smacking me on the back and stuff. And
some really big names.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, I mean, I always see these people from afar, but I never got to meet them.
Right.
And the coolest thing, though, for me is
I had a pretty low Pathfinder number. I was 15033 because I started I registered for the society back in 2008, but this dropped my number to 821. So,
wow.
And don't let him fool you, listeners. He's actually wearing this thing on a diadem around his head. So humble isn't exactly
it's,
in it.
It's like an Aeon stone. Like it just circles my head.
Halo.
Changed my license plate to 821. And
got a tattooed somewhere. Won't tell us where.
That's right.
You know, this whole thing, man.
Luckily, it's a three-digit number.
this whole trip to...
Oh, Mark, you're the best. What were you saying, Kirk?
Yeah. This whole trip to get here has been interesting. I mean, I started gaming back when I was in middle school. It was like really important to me back then, you know, in the Stone Age. And I moved down here, and it was just a great way for me to kind of meet some friends and bring some people together. And so we started a small group and used to meet in the kitchen, and I dragged my wife into it, and she put up with it for several months. But a
couple years, in fact.
Yeah, it grew until, you know, I met Jason and Brent and Britt. And
then his life fell apart.
And pretty much...
poor bastard.
Now I've turned, like, you know, a big section of my living space has been is sectioned off, and it's here for gaming and... Just the people I've gotten to meet, the places I've gone, the fact that we now have, you know, our own con. I never thought any of that shit would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been pretty cool to be around all this, you know. And then you meet someone like Mark, and, you know, I had some other ties to some of the folks at, you know, the D&D TSR world. And it's just...
Come on, say it.
It's been a fun ride.
Say it.
I ain't saying nothing.
Okay, I'll say it. Where Kirk grew up... He was not too far from Lake Geneva and knew the Gygax kids for a short period of time in his life.
I honestly didn't know the kids, but I did have the opportunity to game with Gary at RockCon, and he did some stuff there. And I knew some of Gary's friends that actually helped him with the development of the Dungeons & Dragons stuff. It was just a pleasant surprise. So anyway, it's been a cool trip, man.
Right.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Long, strange trip.
Anybody got anything else?
I love you guys.
We love you too, Jason.
Yeah, you can blame my gaming on Jason. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tiffany and I's, I'd like to joke, Tiffany and I's first date was a D&D game. And then, well, hey, she married me, so it worked
right?
out.
It must have worked.
Yeah. Two kids and a house and 10 years later. So. Yeah.
Well, you're the one that brought Pathfinder to our little group over here, quite honestly.
Yeah, well, I was resistant for it at first, but then when I started, you know, because somebody else introduced me to Pathfinder, uh-huh. and I started looking at it, and I was like, this is nice.
Right.
Like, this search spot and listener now, like, the skill condition
mm-hmm.
was the biggest thing for me.
It was pretty logical, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I started, because Pete and his best friend played a lot of Magic, and like, well, now we're family. And I'd always wanted to try Magic. I started playing with them,
mm-hmm.
but then I started talking to them about Pathfinder, and now they both play. And because I got Pete into it, and his best friend, Pete, into it.
Pete, repeat.
Yeah, well, he's repeat.
repeat.
Pete Hanstadt, his wife now plays, so and right. they've got a kid.
I've had the pleasure of playing with the Hanstadts.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the other guys in our group, that we just introduced, he's got a kid, so in my mind, too, we're like, there'll be four kids between my two and their two and all this other stuff going on, and then, like, we'll have this future generation of, like, you know, as they get older, they'll be able to sit down and play.
I am hopeful Great. For one of my kids. They both tried it. The oldest one is, yeah, there's math? No. The youngest one started that way. We dumbed down her character, made, like, spreadsheets where you just roll a die, and then it's this much damage.
Like the old Thaco charts. Gotcha.
And, let
wow,
her come and
that's
go.
That's an old blast from the past.
Well, she is taking a hiatus, but recently she's been coming over to Jason's house when we came over there and playing with his kids and stuff while we play. After they go to bed, she comes over and watches, and she's mentioned a desire to try it again. I'm like, well, we'll keep watching for now, but we'll get you a chance.
Right.
And I'm hoping that she gets hooked.
I'll loan you the beginner box.
No, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, back to Gen Con for me, I mean, my oldest boy, Sawyer, this was his first Gen Con.
Okay, wait a minute. How many have you been to personally, Mark?
I have only been to three. I got a late start in life because, I mean, one, I was poor.
Well, got two, your amen there.
Two, whenever I was old enough, making enough money, my first wife did not want me to do anything with gaming.
Uh-huh.
So...
Got your amen there.
Right. So now that I have a new wife, new family and everything, 50 was a good year to go. You know, it was the golden anniversary and all that stuff, so I got to go. But this year, three of my four boys, five kids, went. And my oldest boy, Sawyer, actually GM'd his first con game ever at Gen Con.
Brave.
And he ran the finale special, Gallowspire, at Gen Con.
Wow.
Ballsy.
Yeah. Yeah. He ran three slots, and all the feedback I got from people that played his table said that he did a marvelous job, and they were very, very happy. In fact, two guys said that he was the best GM they had all weekend.
Wow.
Yep, that's my boy.
Yeah, he should be proud.
My boy, Blue.
I take it your boys listen to the podcast?
Spottily.
Eventually,
but
maybe.
No, I mean, I think they all know about it because I told them, you know, about it, and I didn't order them to listen yet, but I will.
so we'll if you want to be in the will, you fucking it, right? Listen.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want any of my gaming stuff, you're going to listen, damn it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to like it.
But Sawyer loved it. I mean, took to like duck to water. He really likes GMing now, and he's looking to become a venture agent in Nashville, Tennessee, down by where he lives.
Nice.
I'll tell you, that's one thing I never really wanted to, like, it's interesting, the concept of being a venture agent, but the amount of work behind it, I'm just like, it's,
yeah.
I don't think I could dedicate the time.
I got approached.
Maybe when I'm retired.
I got approached a couple years ago about becoming one, and with work and everything, I don't have the time.
Gotta say, I've only been in gaming for about 2 years, coming up on 2 years, and I have never seen something that spreads the way that gaming does.
It's infectious.
Everybody
it's
has heard
cancer.
Of it, and nobody has done it. And then as soon as you start, everybody's like, I would really like to try that.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, everybody come on. And we do one shots, and, you know, some of them don't like it. They move on. But a lot of them have been like, yeah, I would love to do this regularly when I get some time to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
it's
well,
a
you,
like a disease.
You hit on something really big there, and I mean, I know like Kurt, you know, and myself, and probably Brett will attest to this. Back when we started gaming, it was not like this.
No.
In fact, for me to grow up and be here at over 50, still playing a quote unquote kids game with a bunch of guys that are close to my age, except for you because you're really young. But
unheard of, right?
Yes, unheard of. I mean, just crazy, crazy talk, you know. And not only that, but how much popularity and acceptance it's got. It's like mainstream. And
what are you guys laughing about?
Will's the really young one, but Pete and I are still probably 20 years younger than Mark. So that's what we were talking about here.
Yes, I mean, I know you're all younger than I am, except maybe for Curtis. I don't
Shit,
know.
Man, back
I'm
in them days,
Kurt, actually.
Back in them days, if you had access to a copy machine, you were a god.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely.
Dude, can you get me some character sheets?
Dude, can you run a ditto? Sneak into the teacher's lounge, man.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine having to hand-draw all the maps on paper.
How about whenever...
Graph paper was your best friend.
The GM or the DM says, you see a 10-foot corridor. The corridor is 10 foot high and 10 foot wide. It continues to the east to the limit of your vision, which is 30 feet.
I've heard this one.
So you move 30 feet ahead. The corridor continues east for another 30 feet.
A lot of theater to the mind, Pete.
Oh, yeah. And,
wow.
And
it usually
actually,
wasn't a lot of life-size maps.
You actually drew the map. There was someone called the mapper,
mm-hmm.
and that was his whole job, is to listen to the GM and draw the map out by hand on graph paper.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't, then you became lost in the dungeon, and the dungeon master would make you die.
Pretty much, yeah.
Random encounters were a big thing back then.
Absolutely. And you know, it was funny because it was almost all Theater of the Mind. I mean, we had figs, but we didn't know what the fuck to do with them.
Mostly they were just for marching order, right? Yeah, you put them on table and say, okay, well, I'm here and the wizard's there and blah, blah, blah.
Combat was totally different than, you know.
I also, like, obviously I did not play back then. I've listened to a lot of stories from people who did and, like, people who worked at TSR, playtesters, the old chainmail stuff and things like that. And the biggest thing they talk about is just the game philosophy, because nowadays it's a lot more about the roleplay. Back then it was a lot more about combat, loot, kill the monster.
Oh, yeah, the whole greyhawking thing eventually. Yeah. I mean, that became a verb.
I thought you started with us back when we were still doing second edition.
No, when I came in, you guys were learning third edition.
We were well into 3.5.
You guys were, you guys may have been playing for the role, but you were still learning.
Right. We were well into it.
All right, trust gentlemen. And on that note, I do have some things that I have to go take care of, so I have to cut out.
I think, is that a wrap?
We got anything else?
Anything else, anybody? Real quick?
I mean, I could keep talking, but it's...
We could talk and talk and talk.
Anyway.
Anything pertinent?
Nope.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Shield Bash is made in association with the Knights of the Octagon and the Farmageddon Gaming Convention. Find us on Facebook at Shield Bash, on Twitter at Bash Shield, or online at Farmageddon137.com. Music by Lee Rosevere. Questions and comments can be sent to shieldbashpodcast@gmail.com.